So we're going to continue our study of Sefer Melachim Aleph. We're in the last chapter of Melachim Aleph, Perachav Beis. It's a long chapter. And we're towards the very beginning. We're by Pasuk Hei, Pasuk Vav. What happened was is that the Achav, and what's going to be his last act as king, has a desire to conquer a town that had originally been a town in his kingdom, Ramos Gilad. And he's in contact with Yehoshaphat, in direct contact, the king of Malchus Yehuda, who we haven't heard from in a while. Basically, they seem to, currently they have an alliance. There was some marriages that they were related to each other through marriage. And he asks Yehoshaphat to come along with him and do battle. And the last thing that we left off with is Yehoshaphat seems to be very, very into unity, at least in terms of this battle. He says beautiful phrase of, you know, whatever's mine is yours, my people, your people, my horses, your horses, we'll fight together. But the last thing he asked in Pasuk Hey, which was our last Pasuk from last time, Vayomer Yehoshaphat, al Melch Yisrael, Yehoshaphat said to Achav, Dirashna Kayom es Devar Hashem. Seek now today the word of Hashem, meaning we need to have, I personally, says Yehoshaphat, I need to have the kind of approval from Hashem, which is relatively normative in the Malchus of in a Jewish kingdom where the king believes in God. You don't go out to battle unless you know that that's what you're supposed to be going to do. We the Pesukim previously by other kings have said things like that. They would either use a Navi, you could use the Urim V'Tumim with the Kohen Gadol. It's interesting that Yehoshaphat is asking Achav. However, we want to try to understand his recent, you know, Parak Chaf Aleph ended with him doing some form of tshuva, some sense of hachnav, kind of lowering himself in front of Eliyahu, in front of Hashem, so much so that Hashem told Eliyahu that the intense and final punishment in terms of wiping out of Achav's dynasty will not take place during the time, during the life of Achav, but rather will take place during the life of his son, kind of pushing off and delaying watching the monarchy that you built up, you know, crumble in front of you. So however you're going to understand that tshuva, Achav did not have a track record of being pro-Nevi'im. Why is it Yehoshaphat is asking Achav? Yehoshaphat should either have taken it upon himself to find the Navi. Perhaps some, there have to, right? We keep hearing about, in the most recent times, we've been hearing about the Nevi'im that are in the northern kingdom, Michayahu, Eliyahu, but there had to have been Nevi'im in the southern kingdom as well, so why not invite them? So it's probably the simplest answer is that Yehoshaphat is on location. It's an away game. He's in the north right now. He's with the king Achav, and the quickest way would be for Achav to summon a Navi. And that's what he asks for. So Achav tries to pacify Yehoshaphat in Pasuk Vav. Vayikbots Melch Yisrael es ha-Nevi'im ka'ar b'meos ish. The Melch Yisrael, Achav, he's able to gather prophets about like 400. 400 prophets, which is a lot. He only asked really for one. Vayomer aleihem, and Achav says to this whole group of prophets, ha'elech al Ramos Gilad, shall I go against Ramos Gilad, la milchama for war, im echdal, should I refrain? Should I hold back? That's the question. Vayomru, they, this group, large group of almost 400 prophets, answered back, ale, you should go up, v'yitain Hashem b'yad ha-melech. And Hashem will give over, meaning give over Ramos Gilad, which is the town that's being controlled by Aram, into the hands of the king. So there's debate amongst the Mefarshim. Again, we said this last time, that when we heard about the tshuva that Achav did, so depending on how real that was, so that's going to depend on his reactions through the story. 400 Nevi'im, none of these were proper Nevi'im. Now, were they not proper Nevi'im and Achav thought they were proper Nevi'im? That's a possibility. I mean, it could be, if you want to take the approach that his tshuva in last parak was strong, then he could have been under the impression that these actually, he doesn't have any familiarity with real prophets except for two. And he's going to explain that the two prophets who he does have some level of familiarity with, Michayahu and Eliyahu, very recently, when he speaks to them, good news is not being said. So he clearly wants this. Again, the motivation from the Pesukim is not clear why he wants Ramos Gilad, why he wants to kind of really destroy a good thing that he has going. For the last few years, he's had a peace treaty where he's earning money. He's making money for the northern kingdom from Aram. This one town that wasn't included in the deal because it was kind of generated, it was grandfathered in that it belongs to, that it'll stay under the control of Aram, and he wants it. And again, the Pesukim don't really say why he wants it, just like the Pesukim didn't say why he wants the field of the Kerem of Nevos. It's not clear why he wanted it. He just wants it, and a king does what he wants if he's foolish. So it could be these 400 prophets had presented themselves as prophets, and he bought into that. It could be it's you know, I think some of the Mefarshim pick up on the echoing the fact that we had 400 Nevi'im by Baal. Nevi'i Baal by Har HaKarmel, when Eliyahu debated, we had this group of 400, and all of a sudden there's another group of 400 almost like taking their place. And they're all in unison saying that you should go up. And perhaps those Mefarshim who are a little skeptical of these, everyone's skeptical of them, when they quote at the end of the pasuk, "Vayitain Hashem," right? "Vayitain Hashem biyad haMelech." They're trying to sound religious. They're trying to sound like they're talking the talk. Now they're talking the talk, but they're not opening with nevuah. Nevuah would have been to open with the phrase "Ka Amar Hashem." And one of the indicators some of the Mefarshim point out may be that the fact that they used Hashem's name as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and not the Yud Kei Vav Kei name, that could be indicative. What's about to happen in Pasuk Zayin is Yehoshaphat is able to tell immediately that they're false prophets, which is striking. Vayomer Yehoshaphat in Pasuk Zayin, Ha'ayin Po Navi LaHashem, Od V'Nidrash Me'oso. Is there no prophet LaHashem, using the Yud Kei Vav Kei name of Hashem? Is there no more a prophet V'Nidrasha Me'oso that we could seek out from him? So there is a little bit of, so you immediately you're asking yourself the question: how did Yehoshaphat know? How did he pick up? So the pasuk indicates one hint, perhaps in terms of the numbers. We don't need 400, like we said before. You don't need 400. You need one. You need one real navi, and that's enough to satisfy Yehoshaphat's desire to understand what is it that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. The Radak explains that, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know if this is the source of it. I don't think it is, but you know, they say many Jews and many opinions, or like few Jews and many, many opinions. Nevi'im never present their nevuah in the same way. The Radak says, his phrase is, the ein shnei nevi'im misnabim b'signon echad. They could all kind of, because again, we always explain that Nevi'im, besides Moshe Rabbeinu, receive a very indirect way to communicate a message. They, right, the language of the Chazal say it's like they're looking at an aspaklaria shena me'ir. They're looking at an image through a mirror that's not so clear. While Moshe Rabbeinu, he looked at images that Hashem showed him and visions that Hashem showed him, but aspaklaria me'ira, and with a clear window, a clear lens. So Nevi'im would never exactly say the right thing. To get 400 Nevi'im in a room and have them agree with each other, that's not a possibility in the realm of Nevuah. I think they cited in the name of Rav Huttner that when the Torah was translated by the Septuagint, when it was translated into 70 languages, so the tradition is that they took the rabbis and put them in separate rooms, and they all came up with the same translation. And as quoted in the name of Huttner, he said it would have been more impressive if the 70 rabbis were in the same room and came up with the same translation. So that's in the realm of Torah, but in the realm of Nevuah, again, because of the way prophecy works. So the fact that 400 were saying the exact same words and in unison, that was, according to Radak, that was fishy to Yehoshaphat. But it could also be the sheer number. It could be, you know, here he is, right? If Yehoshaphat is somewhat intelligent, if he does the math, he is coming into the northern kingdom. He has to know what the northern kingdom represents. And even if Ahav's tshuva movement was sincere, he has to know that there's not a track record here for many prophets. So if Ahav brought one, so you could say, hey, there, in the mess that is Malchus Yisrael, there can be a righteous prophet. There's Michayahu, there's Eliyahu. Elisha is already on the scene a little bit. We don't see him being active. He's the attendant of. There are some proper kosher prophets. But to say that there are 400, that's a little bit of a stretch. Maybe in the southern kingdom that wouldn't have been a stretch. We have talked about before that during this time period, during the Yimei HaNevuah, there were the Nevi'im that we know who wrote prophecy that's important for our generations to know, and so they make it in the Tanakh. But there were yeshivos, there were b'nei ha-nevim, there were schools of prophets. You and I would be able to apply to prophet school, and you know, you have to be accepted, you have to be the right person. But you could achieve minor levels of prophecy where you would receive nevuah from Hashem, but it would, you know, maybe be about what crops to grow in your yard. Nothing that's important for Klal Yisrael to know, or it would be just some type of, you know, heightened connection to Hashem that maybe you and I are looking for in our lives. We don't have that ability today. So maybe in the southern kingdom it could exist, but in the northern kingdom to have 400, that's a little odd. And Yehoshaphat smells it right away. Maybe he is, we don't know it from the Pesukim, maybe he's experienced prophecy before. Maybe it's because they didn't open with the phrase Ko Amar Hashem. But he was able to see it. And what's interesting is that he doesn't, two things. Number one is, he doesn't say that what they said is no good. He's passive in his wanting someone else. He's saying, is there no other Navi? Meaning, I don't trust this group, but I'm not saying that they're wrong. I want another one. I want a Navi Lashem. And then Achav, very nicely, in Pasuk Ches, as we're about to read, Achav doesn't really fight back. He doesn't fight back. These are my 400, and I trust them, and you need to trust them. He says, "Pasachas vayomer Melch Yisrael." Melch Yisrael says, Achav says, "El Yehoshaphat." He says back to Yehoshaphat, "Od Ishachad." There's one more. There's one more man. Lidrosh es Hashem meoso. There's one more man to who can inquire from Hashem, to can seek out from God. Va'ani senesiv. The problem is I hate him. Ki lo yisnabe alai tov. Because he doesn't prophesize for me good. Ki emra, only bad. What's his name? Michayahu ben Yimla. Vayomer Yehoshaphat al yomer hamelech kein. Yehoshaphat responds to that, you know, don't, in a very respectful way, because he says, Al Yomar HaMelech, he's referring to a fellow king, he's referring to Achav, and saying, Achav, you shouldn't say that. So, a lot of questions. I think the most obvious, maybe the elephant in the room, is, what about Eliyahu? Mm-hmm. Right? There's one person. So, based on why he doesn't, right, if you want to match up individuals, or Nevi'im, that Achav doesn't like, and the reason why he doesn't like them. So I think the pasuk is kind of giving off a natural hint why he's not even mentioning Eliyahu. Because Michayahu, for the most part, you would say, Michayahu has been actually a Navi who prophesied good, right? Michayahu was the one who prophesied a miraculous victory against Aram the first time, a miraculous victory against Aram the second time, and then that second time when Achav made the mistake of letting the Aram king Ben-Hadad live, so it was that same Michayahu that came and prophesied doom. So we have two good and one doom. Yet he says, Ki lo yisnabe alai tov ki imra. So it's like he's lost sight of those, right? You only focus on, Achav's only focusing on the bad, right? I think we can make a connection. Achav is not exactly the greatest of Jewish kings. It's reminiscent of a little, Haman took it to an extreme, right? He said, "V'chol zayin ashevali," right? Everyone honors except for that one Jew, Mordechai. He doesn't honor me, and everything else is with the fact that I'm second in command is worthless. Here, it's 66% of the time he got good nevuah, and 33% it was bad. But when you're weighing that, so if you think about Eliyahu has been technically, you know, almost more negative, and in the more recent history, the direct post the story of Navos, it's not Michayahu who's chosen to be the Navi to chastise and bring the ultimate doom prophecy to Achav. It's rather Eliyahu. So it's almost like Eliyahu, we're not even going to mention his name. We're not even going there. But he says to Yehoshaphat, there is this one, I hate him, Michayahu. And Yehoshaphat says not to say this. You can understand that in perhaps the most obvious ways of saying, you know, that's not the way to talk. If we're truly, I ask you to find the Navi Hashem, Navi Lashem. If this truly is a Navi Lashem, you can't talk about him that way. Or it's almost like Yehoshaphat could be arguing even on the, again, in a friendly/respectful way, because he says HaMelech. But that the logic that Ahav is putting forward, ki lo yisnabi alai tov ki imra, that makes it sound like the prophet gets to choose. And the prophet comes and looks at the king and says, ooh, I don't like this king, so I'm only going to give him negative prophecy, bad prophecy. If we're talking about an Avi Lashem, he doesn't pick his prophecy. He says the prophecy, whatever God puts in his mouth, that's right? If that's what Bilam did, that's what every Navi, that's what every Navi MS does. They can only say, so therefore, Al Yomar Kane, because either you're saying bad about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave the message, or you're saying bad about the whole institution of prophecy, because this is not how it works. And they seem, the nice thing, it seems to be very cordial. The fact that you have these two kings who seem to disagree on how they should be trusting prophets and different individuals, yet they're having at least a nice dialogue. Pasuk Tes, Vayikra Melech Yisrael El Saris Echad. So Ahav calls one Saris, one officer. Masuda Sion says a Saris is the same word as a Sar, with a sin, calls an officer, Vayomer, and he says to the officer, Mahara Michayo ben Yimla, hurry up and get Michayahu, hurry up, go find Michayo and tell him to hurry up, different ways to interpret the phrase. Basically, everything's going to be waiting for this interaction between Yehoshaphat and Michayo to hear it from the real Navi, so let's get it going. And so he's willing, I think it's obvious, why is Ahav willing to do this? It must mean that Ahav's done the military assessment and he cannot approach Ramos Gilad without Yehoshaphat and Yehoshaphat's army. And so he's trying his best to not involve Michayahu. But if that's the only way, he's willing to do it to try and convince Yehoshaphat to have a real alliance and to come into battle. So Pasuk Yud. Umelech Yisrael, v'Yehoshaphat ben Yehuda, Yoshvim ish al kiso. This is kind of like while they were waiting. While they were waiting, the king of Israel, Ahav, and Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, a question that I don't have an answer to is why we keep referring to Ahav without his name and we keep referring to Yehoshaphat with his name. I don't know if anybody saw anything about that or thought anything about that. It keeps repeating itself. Yehoshaphat gets his name, but Ahav does not. But the two of them are together. Yoshvim ish al kiso, each man on his kiso. So the translations of kiso, so the Art Scroll choose to translate it as throne. What is
also throne?
Also throne. You know, it's hard to imagine that it's like a real throne. It's probably like some type of travel throne, you're not gonna. Granted, neither of them had the elaborate throne that Shlomo had, because that had been taken by Melech Mitzrayim. But you have to imagine that each of them had quite elaborate thrones that they're going to see they're sitting here in a field somewhere. It probably meant on some type, and you've seen old films and a king is traveling. There's still something. It's not a folding chair. But so each one is sitting. Milubashim begadim. They're doesn't mean that they're wearing clothing. That would be ridiculous. They're dressed as kings. They're still in their kingly outfits while they're waiting. Begoren, they're waiting on a goren. A goren is a threshing floor. Begoren Pesach Shar Shomron. They're at some type of threshing floor, where they thresh grain. At the opening gate to Shomron, they're not entrenched in the city, in the palace. They're in waiting. They're lying in wait because this Ahav is hoping that there's going to be a military campaign happening soon. So they're with their armies. They're waiting. Now, while they're waiting, v'chol hanaviyim misnabim nifneim, all of the prophets are prophesizing before them. All the prophets that Yehoshaphat was not impressed by are continuing to prophesize. Either it is that maybe they're totally clueless. They have no idea that their words are not being effective, and if anything, maybe they're making it worse. Or no, they thought that they're doing good. They're trying to sell this message. Maybe they're insulted by the fact that they've heard that now that there's been a messenger sent out, an officer sent out to try to find another Navi, you could be very insulted by that. One of these false prophets, in particular, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, kind of takes just one step further to try and sell the message. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayas lo Tzidkia ben Kena'ana. Tzidkia, the son of Kena'ana, who is one of these prophets, he made something. Vayas lo, he made for himself, he made Karnei Barzel. He made iron horns. Vayomer, and he said, Ko Amar Hashem, so has Hashem said, which is a language of Nevuah, inappropriately, as the Mefarshim understand. Be'ela, with these iron, iron horns, Be'ela, with these, Tenagach Asaram Ad Kalosam. You, meaning he's talking towards Achav, you shall gore, you shall be able to ram the whole nation of Aram, Ad Kalosam, until they're destroyed. That kind of he creates, in addition to the fact that the prophets are saying over their prophecy, they're saying more ideas that you're going to be victorious, he kind of makes a prop. He makes a prop, then we're showing him understand that maybe he's trying to be like the horns of an ox, the shore, which is the symbol. The ox is the symbol of Yosef. Achav came from Ephraim, from the tribe of Yosef. And so he's making this kind of image to try to show that like you're gonna be successful. And here, this is the tool to go ahead and be successful. Ad kalosam, that's being very confident. That you're going to utterly destroy them. You're going to, right, Vayichal means to destroy in a complete sense, right? We say when creation was totally completed, totally finished, Vayichal Elokim, Hashem completed, he finished. It means there was absolutely nothing left. Ad Kalosam means that they would be destroyed till nothing. The previous battles were missing that. The previous battles against Abaram, though they were victorious, so we know that last time it was close, but the king was able to stay alive. Due to Achav's ill decision. But this time, this false prophet, again, he's disrespecting the whole notion of prophecy by actually using Koh Amar Hashem. And maybe you would say he's picking up on the fact that last time they didn't use that phrase, a couple of, you know, an hour or two ago when they were first called upon, they didn't use that phrase, Yehoshaphat, therefore didn't buy in. So now, okay, so now they reevaluate, let's try to convince Yehoshaphat. So he's using more of the correct lingo, but it's inappropriate. And if you are Yehoshaphat, and you've already made your decision that you're not going to trust these individuals when they start showing their level of, not being authentic by using the name of Hashem inappropriately, by using the opening phrase to Nevuah inappropriately, that's not really going to help the cause. It's actually going to, it's quite short-sighted on the side of this individual who we're not, this is not the last time we're going to hear from him. Tzidkiah. Pasuk Yud Beis. V'chol ha'neviim nib'im kein le'mor. All of these prophets were prophesizing and saying as follows. Ale, you should go up, Ramos Gilad. Go up to Ramos Gilad. V'hatzlach. Ale v'hatzlach. Right? Go and be successful. V'nasan Hashem yad ha'melech. They also changed their language. Last time it was V'nasan Adnos. It was the Hashem's name of Ado Shem instead of the Yudke Vavke. So they're trying to convince the message. And that's happening at one time. So that's happening in the camp, right in front of the city. Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Hamalach Asher Halach Lechro Michayo, the messenger, that officer who we heard about before, who was sent to call, to invite Michayahu, Diber Elav Lemor. He spoke to Michayahu saying as follows, Hine na Divrei Hanavim. These are the words of the prophets. Pe echad tov el hamelech. Pe echad. There's one mouth, meaning there's one message. Tov, and it is in the realm of good el hamelech. Good for the king, because right, what is that? In this time, right, the king wants to conquer a city, so good for the king is an affirmation that he will conquer said city. Yehi na divarcha kidvar echad mehem. Vidibar Tatov. These are the instructions that Achav gave the messenger. Achav has already talked about his disdain for Michayahu. And therefore he's trying to almost guide Michayahu exactly what's necessary here. that there's already been a precedent, the precedent set by these other Nevi'im, that it's in positive for what the king wants. So therefore, Yihina Devarcha, please now, right, let it be your words, Kidvar Echad Mehem, you should be like one of them, which means like all of them, because they're in unison, V'dibar Tatov, and you should also speak favorably, you should also speak good. And what basically is happening before our eyes is you have 400 Nevi'im, and the power of those 400 Nevi'im are challenging the one Navi Lashem. And it's not the first time. It's not the first time that we have that setup. That's exactly Nevi'e Baal. That's exactly the Har HaKarmel scene. You have the Nevi'e Baal on one side, and you have Eliyahu on the other side. It's interesting. We don't see any interaction between, throughout the Sefer, we never saw any interaction between Eliyahu and Michayahu. And, you know, how did that interplay work? How did the fact that they were both Nevi'im at the same time, you know, clearly, you know, if you ask the average sixth grader on the street, you know, they've heard of Eliyahu. They haven't heard of Michayahu. Eliyahu's prominence is much more grand. But, you know, so what, did they have interaction? Did they, you know, did they influence each other? The fact that you know, how much did the scene at Har HaKarmel perhaps influence Michayahu, we're going to see, is quite courageous, because he's going to be standing here in front, he's going to be invited, and there's a lot of pressure to go with what's popular, which is to be pro this battle. So Pasuk Tezvav, he must have traveled, or this is even before the travel. Sorry. Pasuk Tesvav is his response to the messenger. So he's standing in his own house, or wherever he was, with the messenger saying, and you should affirm that which these 400 prophets said. Vayomer Michayahu in Pasuk Tesvav, sorry, Pasuk Yodalad. Vayomer Michayahu says, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem, right? By as Hashem lives, Ki es asher yomar Hashem elai oso adaber. That which Hashem says to me, that is what I'm going to say. Which, again, it's not shocking. That's what all Nevi'im do. And the Havdil, if Bilam can say that to the messengers of Balak, the non-Jewish prophet can say it to the messengers of the non-Jewish king, then the Jewish prophet can say it to the Jewish king. And he's saying it in a Lashon of a Shavua, that I could only say that which Hashem tells me to say. This perhaps already a hint this is not a hint. He's saying, I'm not a yes man. I'm not going to say what you want me to say. I'm not going to agree. In theory, in his hidden within his words are, if it is the right thing that Hashem wants me to tell you to go, then I'm going to tell you to go. But if not, I won't. And the messenger was, presumably the messenger was given instructions that regardless of what Michayahu says, you have to bring him back here. Because Yehoshaphat's not going to budge without some Navi, and again, we keep saying not clearly in the Psukim, Achav clearly has no desire for Eliyahu to be there, because if he wanted him, he would have searched for him. And there's no reason, I don't think there's a reason for us to assume that he did, and it's just not in the Psukim. Pasuk Tesvav, Vayavo El HaMelech. So he came to the king, meaning Michayahu came to the king. Here, obviously, both kings are present, but Achav is the one who summoned him. Achav is the one he's had dealings with before. For all we know, this is maybe this the first time in his life that he's going to be in front of Yehoshaphat. Mm-hmm. There is no, I'm pretty sure, you'll check me, there doesn't seem to be any interaction between Michayahu and Yehoshaphat. Which you might maybe would say is rather curious, meaning here it is, Yehoshaphat is the one who wants to know what's going on. So you'd expect, you know, for interrogation of the Navi, or at least proper just questions, or even the initial ask, maybe Yehoshaphat would engage with the Navi. We're not talking about just a random person. We're talking about another king, the king of the Malchus, Yehuda. But there doesn't seem to be any interaction there. And it seems like Yehoshaphat's job is just to be listening. Listening to the interaction between Achav and Michayahu. So when it says Vayovo El HaMelech, it means he's coming to the king. It means Achav. Vayomer HaMelech, and the king says that's Achav. Vayomer Melech Elav, Achav says Michayahu. He refers to him only by name. which I think already you could maybe say is disrespectful. We've seen other people refer to Nevi'im in very respectful ways, whether it's calling them Adoni, whether it's saying, you know, talking about themselves as Avdecha. Even a king can talk to a Navi in a more respectful way than just calling him by name. It could have been worse, right? It could have called him Ben Yimla. It could have called him by the name, right? To just call someone Ben so-and-so, we've seen it is kind of disrespectful because you take away their own identity, saying your existence is based on who you came from. But just saying Michayahu instead of, you know, Ish Elokim, some type of honorable type of term. No, Michayahu. Hanelech al Ramos Gilad al Melchama im Nechtal. Shall we go up? Shall we go up? We, meaning me and Yehoshaphat. Shall we go up against Ramos Gilad for war? Im Nechtal, or should we refrain? And maybe this time he's asking, right, when he asked the false prophets, it was done in singular. Right? Back in Pasuk Vav, the first Pasuk from today, he said, Ha'elich al Ramos Gilad Melchama im Echtal. Maybe because he was addressing his prophets and he made it, even though it was on behalf of Yehoshaphat. But here he's addressing the real prophet and he wants to kind of maybe highlight the fact that Yehoshaphat is with me. We're in our desire to go up against the city. He's with me. Meaning maybe, you know, in the past you've been only saying bad prophecy about me, but I'm not alone anymore. And you don't have a track record for saying any prophecy about Yehoshaphat. So we're together. Shall we go up or not? Hanelech al Ramos Gilad lamelchama im nechtal. Vayomer a love, not to both of them. Vayomer a love. The Michayahu responds back to Achav, Alei v'hatzlach. Go up and be successful. V'nasan Hashem biyad hamelech. V'nasan Hashem biyad hamelech. And may Hashem give over into the hands of the king. Which these words sound pretty good. On the surface level, it sounds pretty good. Alei v'hatzlach, go up, and you'll have success. And Hashem will give over. Achav seems to understand these words as almost being too good to be true. That perhaps he's just saying it to pacify him, even though that really should be enough. He doesn't take him seriously, perhaps because he didn't open with the phrase Ka'amar Hashem, and it doesn't seem like it's real Nebuah, and therefore he's not sure if Yehoshaphat is going to accept this or not. And Achav kind of pushes back in Pasuk Tazayin. Vayomer Elav HaMelech, Achav says to him, Ad kameh pa'amim ani mashbi'echa. Until many times am I adjuring you into an oath. I'm bringing you in. I'm asking you, betoras oath, as a shvua many times over. Asher lo sedaber elai rak emes b'shem Hashem, that you only speak to me truth in the name of Hashem. I don't trust what you said. Again, highlighting the fact rak emes b'shem Hashem. Maybe it's because he didn't say it as a prophecy, which is going to change in the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayomer. So now Michayahu says back, Ra'isi es kol Yisrael noftsim el haharim. I have seen in an image, meaning Hashem has shown me a vision. Ra'isi es kol Yisrael, and I have seen all of Israel, the entire army, noftsim el haharim. Noftsim, the Tzul Tzion says, is mefuzarim, scattered. Scattered. When armies scatter, that's not good. Armies scatter when they're on the run, when they're in the retreat, right? You march all together and you retreat any way, shape, or form possible. And usually, right, you want to go off on your own. You go off on your own for, right, hoping that the whoever's running after you runs after the other guy and not you. And not only that, not only is it an image showing perhaps loss or defeat, retreat, I've seen Yisrael noftsim el haharim katzon, like sheep asher ein lahem roeh, sheep without a shepherd. well, sheep without a shepherd makes sense that they're scattering. The whole job of the shepherd is to keep it together, is to keep the flock together. So we understand that this adds to our image of the scattering. They're like sheep scattered over a mountain without a shepherd, but they're also without a shepherd, right? And if the sheep is the army of Israel, and the army of Israel is without their commander in chief, that means this Nevuah is including cutting Achav out of the picture. It's a very subtle way of saying that I see a vision of this battle, and it doesn't involve you. Vayomer, so that's the Vayomer Hashem lo adonim la'ela. In this image, in this vision of Klal Yisrael being scattered, looking like sheep, there's a voice of Hashem in this scene. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem says, lo adonim la'ela, these don't have, lo adonim la'ela, there's no master to these. To these, the sheep, which are really the army, which are scattered, not only are they like a sheep without a shepherd, they also don't have a master. It's echoing the idea of not having a king. Yashuvu ish leveso b'shalom. You can call that, at least on the part of the soldiers, the vision has a happy ending. Yashuvu ish leveso b'shalom. Each man is going to return peacefully. That the upcoming battle with Aram is not going to be a battle that causes many casualties to the side of the Israelites. Whether it was really zero or just few, it's viewed by the Pasuk as being like each man gets to return home. That after this dispersion, after this scattering, again, they don't have a Ro'eh, they don't have a Adon, they don't have you, Achav, as king, but they're going to make it through. They'll be able to get back to their houses, b'shalom, in peace. And so Michayahu has now opened, kind of almost played all of his cards. He cited a clear vision. Granted, it didn't have the phrase Ko Amar Hashem, but within the vision, he does cite words that Hashem said, like Vayomer Hashem, that Hashem pronounced that there would be no master and that everyone would go back in peace. Pasuk Yudches, Vayomer Melech Yisrael. So the king of Israel, Achav, says El Yehoshaphat to Yehoshaphat, Halo Amarti Elecha Lo Yisnave Alai Tov Kiemra. Didn't I tell you so? I told you he only gives me bad prophecy. I told you that he is only negative in his words about me. And therefore, you know, he's kind of saying, why would I go and get him? Now, in Yehoshaphat's mind, the answer of why you would go and get him is that because Yehoshaphat wanted to understand from God what is the right thing to do. Now, at this point, if you're Yehoshaphat, what are you thinking? Right? Presumably, you would on the surface level, you would say, this is not a good idea. Meaning, this battle is not going to be successful. If this battle is not going to be successful, then you shouldn't go into it in the first place. And that this is what you wanted. You wanted to hear from the Dvar Hashem what you should do, and you're hearing it loud and clear. Now, granted, you're hearing it. It's not directed at you, but it's directed about what the objective, about this mission of going against Ramos Gilad. Pasuk Yates. Vayomer. So from the context of the Psukim, we're going back to Michayahu. Michayahu is not done yet in terms of his speech. Vayomer Lachain Shema Devar Hashem. Therefore, listen to the word of Hashem. This is very reminiscent to a Ko Amar Hashem. Again, it might not be a Ko Amar Hashem in the sense that when does a Navi get a Ko Amar Hashem? When Hashem comes to the Navi and says, Navi, I have a message for you to deliver to the king, to the people. Here's the message. So then the Navi comes before king, comes before people and says, Ko Amar Hashem. Here, Michayahu was invited. It wasn't that Hashem told Michayahu, inform this to Achav. This is like prophecy on demand. And he's asking for it. He's invited and asking for it. So in that context, he can access his Nevuah, and maybe it's on the way, maybe it's that night. At some point, he got Nevuah, but his presentation of the Nevuah is not with the Ko Amar Hashem, rather it's with a one-time kind of phrase, not a constant phrase of Shema Devar Hashem, listens to the word of Hashem. What is it? Another image, another vision that has meaning. Ra'isi es Hashem Yoshev al Kiso. Michayahu says, I have seen God sitting on his th- throne, on his chair, what we call the Kisei HaKavod, I've seen an image of Hashem sitting on this throne. V'chol tzva shamayim omed alav. And all of the heavenly hosts, all of the celestial beings, omed alav, are standing next to him. Mimino umismolo. From on his right and on his left. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, right? Does Hashem have a right and does Hashem have a left? Of course not. But they're representative that those ministering angels on his right are the ones who argue for, you know, reminiscent of the two shoulders. They're the ones who argue for zchus, they argue for merit. And the ministering angels on the left argue for to be guilty, to convict. Mm-hmm. So that you know, in the heavenly, we don't fully understand these things, obviously. But there's some level of a heavenly court. And so this is the image. And in that tribunal now, which they're deciding, they're talking about your life, Achav, Pasachav, Bayomer Hashem, Mi Yifate Es Achav. Who is going to, you'd almost translate it as seduce, encourage. Who is going to get Achav? What does that mean, who's going to get Achav? Who is going to get him? V'ya'al, that he'll go up, v'yipol b'Ramos Gilad, and so that he will fall, so that he will die in Ramos Gilad. V'yomer ze b'cho, v'ze omer b'cho. So each of the, so you know, some of the ministering angels are giving their ideas, why don't we get him this way, why don't we get him this way, right? I'll do this, right? Because when we go back in our minds and we review the prophecy that Eliyahu, the final prophecy that Eliyahu gave to Achav, even though there was this kind of element of tshuva and that the ultimate punishment of destroying the monarchy of Achav would happen afterwards, but Achav deserved to die for his own crimes. That part wasn't being rescinded, right? You can't, we said it last week, you can't kill Achav's son as a punishment to Achav when Achav is told that he has to die. It's not something that can be carried out after his lifetime. That's ridiculous. Fasachav Aleph. Vayetze haruach, and there was a spirit. The Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara that this was the spirit of Navos. The spirit of Navos came forward. I don't fully know what that means. The neshama, vayamod lefnei Hashem, and it stood before Hashem. Now, the reason why it doesn't have to be in the neshama, because again, this didn't necessarily actually happen. This is the chazon. This is the vision that Michayahu saw. It doesn't mean that it actually happened. It means this is the nevuah that he's allowed to and encouraged to give over to Achav to paint the picture of what's actually going to happen. So it could be Vayetze Haruach in his chazon, in his vision, he sees the spirit of Navos, Vayamu lefnei Hashem, and that spirit stands before God, Vayomer, and says, Ani afatanu, I am going to lure him, I am going to seduce him. Vayomer Hashem elav bama. So once Hashem's intrigued, because it almost in the context of the psukim, Achav to convince Achav to go to battle. This is the vision that Michayahu has seen and is explaining that something's going to have to, you know, get Achav going to get him into battle. Once he's in battle, that seems to, based on the psukim, that's the scene that Hashem has chosen for, you know, that's the final act. That's what Hashem has chosen. Achav is going to go into that battle and he's not coming out. And the only question is how do we get him there? How do we convince him that's where he's supposed to be?
Except isn't he the one that's been wanting to go the whole time? Like, did he need convincing? Wasn't it Yehoshabbat that needed the convincing?
So maybe you have to, you know, expand, like tweak it to say, you know, how do we get him? How do we, what's like the final blow? How do we actually get him to go? And, you know, maybe it's using the words in this vision, it's using the words like to lure him, to seduce him, to convince him. Like you said, he already wanted it, but we had to push the needle. We had to get him there. So the spirit says, I'll do it. So Hashem responds at the end of Pasuk of Aleph, Vayomer Hashem Elav Bama. Like, how is this happening? Pasuk of Beis, Vayomer, the spirit, again, the spirit is in this Nevuah, says, Eitzei Vayisi Ruach Sheker. I'm going to go out, and I will be a spirit of sheker, of falsehood, b'fi kol neviyav, in the mouths of all of his prophets. Vayomer tefateh v'gam tuchal. So Hashem responds to this, the spirit of, as Chazal understand, the spirit of Nabo saying, you will, tefateh, you will lure him in, v'gam tuchal, you will succeed, tse v'aseh kein, go and do this. Go and do this. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, but Ata now Hinei Nasan Hashem Ruach Sheker b'fi kol Neviyecha. Behold, Ha'ela. Behold, Hashem has allowed this to happen. Hashem has put a Ruach Sheker, a spirit of falsehood, in the mouths of all your prophets. VaHashem Diber Alecha Ra, and Hashem is decreeing evil upon you. Mm-hmm. Now, what's wild is that if Achav would take this to heart, then he actually wouldn't be killed. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like the Navi knows that I don't know if it's like reverse psychology, but the Navi knows that if he says this, it's only going to encourage Achav more, and it's actually going to happen. He's basically telling him, if you go there, you're going to die. And all Achav wants to do is go there more. Perhaps it's to prove the Navi wrong, to show that he's better, that he doesn't believe in the Navi. And of course, this is going to call into question. This does keep calling into question. How valuable was that tshuva from last parak? How valuable is that? Clearly, in the moment, almost like Hashem Basher Husham, that he judges. In that moment, Achav did real tshuva, had a sense of hachna, a sense of lowering himself. He got all in the mood of Avelos. And therefore, the punishment about the monarchy is pushed off to the next generation. But here, this doesn't really sound like a Baal Tshuva. So in the midst of Michayahu giving this horrific nevuah not horrific, it's not like gory, but it's pretty serious and severe. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vayigash Tzidkiyahu ben Kenana. That same Tzidkiyahu who had made the iron horns we saw earlier, he approached the Navi, Vayakes Michayo al Alechi, he slapped him, he punched him, he hit him on the jaw, on the mouth. Vayomer, and he said, Eze avar ruach Hashem me'iti ledaber oschach. How could it be that the spirit of Hashem passed over from me and speaking to you? Meaning, I'm a prophet. It couldn't be that you got prophecy, because in order for you to get prophecy, Hashem would have had to say that I'm not a prophet, and therefore, and that's why you're talking. I mean, it can't be such a thing, which means I'm the prophet and you're not, which obviously wasn't true. But this is what he was saying. Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Michayahu. Michayahu relates to this false navi. Hincha ro'eh bayomahu. Behold, you will see for yourself on that day. Asher tavo cheder becheder. When you go inside a room within a room to be hidden, meaning you'll be dealt with as well. Pasuk Chavav, Vayomer Melech Yisrael, Achav. This is after Michayahu kind of finished this horrific nevuah. Vayomer Melech Yisrael, the Melech Yisrael Achav says, Kachas Michayahu, take him. So he's telling his guards on the side, take him. Vahashivehu el Amon Sarha'ir. Give him over to Amon. That's the name of an individual. Sarha'ir. He's the officer of the city. And we had saw it, right? The scene was that they were somewhere in the fields outside at the Pesach Shar, at the opening of the gate to Shomron, at the capital city. So this isn't just any Sarha'ir. This is the Sarha'ir of the capital city. Bring him to him. The El Yoash ben Hamelech, and also to Yoash, who's the son of the king, meaning Achav is talking about himself. He's saying the son of the king, meaning me, son, my son, Yoash. And they should be in charge of Michayahu. Va'amarta, and you should say to them, meaning give them the instructions. Ka'amar Hamelech, so has said the king. Simu ezeh beis ha'kela. Beis HaKela is a prison. Mm-hmm. Is that modern?
To the Kela, yeah.
Modern Hebrew too. Mm-hmm. So the Rav Hirsch, when he explains the term in the Torah, kilayim. Kilayim are things that can't be mixed. There are three types of kilayim. There's kilayim animals that can't be breeded together. There's kilayim in terms of clothing, that wool and linen can't be mixed together. And there's kilayim in terms of the base word, which is seeds. You can't mix, let's say, wheat and grape seed together. So he says that the word kilayim is based on this phrase, beis hakela, that almost like two individuals who are in separate prison cells. They are imprisoned away from each other. That these are these, and all these three categories are items that can never come together, much like someone who's stuck in prison, two people stuck in prison, you know, granted, I don't know, there's like yard time, but I'm saying like the, meaning the, they're locked away from each other, and that these items have to always remain separate. So he says, place them in prison, v'ha'achiluhu lechem lachatz umayim lachatz, ad bo'i v'shalom. You should feed him and give him drink, but lechem lachatz. The Nutsudos Tzion says lachatz means dochak rotzelamar b'tzimtzum, minimal. Give him the smallest. I want him to survive. I want him to stay alive, but I want him to survive, not to thrive. So you're going to give him bread and water. That's you know, in prison, basic meal, bread and water, but only a little bit, just enough to keep him alive. Ad bo'i b'shalom, until I come back in peace. And it's almost as if he's trying to say, like, I want to deal with him, but I'd much rather deal with him when I have the upper hand. Meaning, when I do what he doesn't want, when I do what he didn't want me to do, when I go into battle, when I return in peace, meaning I'm going to be successful, then I'll deal with him. Maybe I'll publicly execute him. At that point, if it does happen, it's going to show that he's a false prophet. Meaning, even if Michayo wants to present himself as being a real prophet, but in Achav's warped mind, if he goes into battle and he is successful, then he's going to show that that the prophecy of Michayo was wrong, and then he can kill him because he's a Navi Sheker. He'll be just as bad as the other, and it'll actually prove that the other prophets were maybe good prophets. There are numerous times in the Navi. We haven't seen them this direction, but in terms of going further in the Navi, that when a king is not happy with a Navi, he puts him in jail. That's not how it's supposed to be. It was set up that the king is supposed to be the political leader, and the Navi is supposed to be some type of religious leader that can kind of, not necessarily the checks and balances, but can kind of keep the king in check, and we've seen it. We've seen it very recently, that when the king needs to be rebuked, it's not the place of the common person to rebuke. For the common person to rebuke would be Morid B'Malchus, he'd be Chayiv Misa. For a Navi who receives a Nevuah from Hashem, that you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to hide your Nevuah. If you're a Navi, and Hashem comes to you and gives you a Nevuah, you're not allowed to be Hakovish Nevuaso, is going to be Chayiv. It's someone who tries to contain the nevuah that they receive is not that's not allowed. They'll have to pay for with their life. But you put them in prison. If you're not happy with a navi, you can put them in prison, which does happen from time to time in the Tanakh. Pasuk Chavches vayomer Michayahu. This is almost like you would say very. The scene must have been very powerful, because here you have Michayahu, we have to imagine that adding a little bit of drama, that he's in the middle of being taken away to be taken to prison in front of everyone, including Yehoshaphat, which is shocking. Vayom Michayahu, Michayahu says, Im shuv tashum v'shalom. If indeed you return in peace, lo diber Hashem bi. That's going to be a sign that Hashem did not speak through me, meaning I'm willing to buy into what you just said. Meaning, you could put me in prison, you could imply that you're going to kill me. I mean, if you come back in peace, then you're right, I didn't speak. He's so confident that Hashem did speak to him, because he's a real Navi and Hashem did speak to him, that he's saying this. Vayomer, and kind of he closes, Shemu Amim Kulam. It's a little bit strange to end the sentence that way. Vayomer, he said, Shemu Amim Kulam. Hear this, all peoples. And it's perhaps there was more... Perhaps there were more words than that. That when he finished, as he's being taken away, he's calling out to whoever willing to listen, giving the final call, the final call for prophecy. that this is not going to go well for Achav. And again, you're kind of this tension here. On the one hand, it seems that he wants Achav to die. Not that he wants Achav to die, but it seems that's what Hashem wants. And if everyone would pay, right? If Achav's advisors would listen to this and say, "Wait, Achav, maybe why don't we wait a year? Would you really have to rush into this?" Then it would have actually accomplished the opposite. But obviously, the Navi knows what he's doing, and no matter what he says, it seems that he's just encouraging Achav to go further. So, Be'ez Hashem, next time we will continue in Perachav Beis.